Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The 7-Minute Productivity Solution: How to Manage Your Schedule, Overcome Distraction, and Achieve the Results You Want, by John Brandon. Narrated by George W. Saris. Introduction. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Mike Murdoch. I was worried about my laptop. There I was, walking on a frozen lake in Minnesota as the sun arced above the horizon. In the morning light, I looked like outdoorsman Bear Grylls with a fuzzy beard and wool hat. I could have driven my car across the ice, but where's the fun in that? Still, I didn't want to waste time. Ahead of me, I could see my destination, a private island about a mile away. My friend told me I could use his cabin, and I intended to make every second count. My laptop wasn't exactly durable, and the temperature was below freezing. That's when I glanced at my watch. It was 7 a.m., and breakfast was calling my name. I quickly calculated how long my walk would take. "You're going to make it," I told myself a few times. Behind me, I pulled a sled packed with the essentials: a sleeping bag, food, an extra pair of boots. The first thing I noticed when I reached the cabin was that the snow had built up a wall around it, making it seem like my own private fortress. Cool. I typed in a code to open the door and set down my backpack and other gear. I still remember how cold the laptop felt. I imagined it had bricked during my winter trek. I grabbed a few chunks of wood and built a fire in the fireplace, boiled some eggs, set up a temporary office space, and took a seat at the table. With a sigh of relief, I heard my computer come to life. I was about to start writing my first book. But before connecting to the hotspot on my phone and opening my word processor, I decided to do something I've done almost every day for the last 20 years. My fingers were a bit stiff, but I cracked open a journal and grabbed a pen. "Prepare the work area," I reminded myself. I pushed aside a flashlight and box of matches, ordered the space in front of me, and straightened my chair. I set my watch down on the table and stashed my phone in a zippered compartment. "Breathe in and out for exactly 1 minute," I thought. As the sun broke through the trees, I listened to the fire crackle next to me and felt the warmth on my legs. Write down your thoughts for the day, but avoid making a complete list of everything. What's making me feel stressed and worried? What is giving me hope? How do my tasks match up with my purpose? Lastly, I looked over the notes I had written and circled the most important one: write a chapter of the book. I was ready to start working. It's a simple routine, but I remember feeling relaxed and calm. As a writer, my most important accessories are my fingers. They were primed and ready to type. As the wind died down and I thought about cooking up a steak for lunch, I cranked out an entire chapter in one sitting. Why we need routines. Routines help us form new habits. When we wake up in the morning, we shower, brush our teeth, and comb our hair. That's a personal hygiene habit. At work, we start up our computer, open a browser, and check email. That habit helps us dive into work quickly. I'm easily distracted and have multiple squirrel moments throughout the day, so I need routines to guide me, such as the journaling I did at the cabin that morning. Journaling is one of several routines I'll explain in this book. Writing in a journal each morning helps you collect your thoughts so that you become more intentional with your time. Ending your day with a personal daily debriefing is a routine that helps you evaluate what you accomplished and why. There's even a routine to help you take a break more efficiently. Coffee, optional. In all these routines, you'll learn how to be efficient with your time and how to match what you do with what you care about. The opposite of that it's not anything good. The second half of this book explains what happens when bad habits like social media obsession keep us from achieving what is meaningful and desirable. The opposite of a routine is a deep rut leading us nowhere, also known as a bad habit. You might struggle with checking email too often or browsing the web all day at work. Been there, done that. A rut is a slow and agonizing slog in the wrong direction to reach unimportant goals. When we feel stressed, tired, and hungry, when life happens, a routine helps us get back on course. Author Greg McKeown says it best. The right routines give us the equivalent of an energy rebate. Instead of spending our limited supply of discipline on making the same decisions again and again, embedding our decisions into a routine allows us to channel that discipline toward some other essential activity. Back at the island, I closed my computer. There's a sense of well-being that comes when we complete tasks. I started a fire outside and cooked up a late-night stew. In my journal, I started a daily debrief session. Write down your biggest accomplishment of the day. That was easy. I wrote an entire chapter of a book and didn't burn myself near the fire. Outdoor cooking is not my forte. Write down your biggest stressors. Getting to the island wasn't easy. I thought I had destroyed my laptop. Note whether your activities matched up with your long-term goals. That was also easy. I was writing a book. It had been a lifelong dream until then. After my debrief, I slipped into a bunk bed and dozed off. The routines that day set me on a path toward good productivity. Routines set a tone for efficiency, helping you develop good habits that last your entire life. A good habit means you're driving in the fast lane. Buckle up and hold on for the ride. You'll reach your destination quickly and efficiently. A bad habit means you're in the slow lane, or worse, stuck on the side of the road. Constant distractions and derailments keep you from making progress. The philosopher William James once wrote, "The more of the details of our daily life we can hand over to the effortless custody of automatism, the more our higher powers of mind will be set free for their own proper work." This book gives you 9 helpful routines to either jumpstart your productivity or rid yourself of bad habits. You need to invest only 7 minutes in each routine. That's it. If you follow these routines, you'll focus on what's most important and become a highly productive person. More importantly, you'll experience what I call productivity with purpose. As author and marketing expert Ryan Holiday notes, a good routine is not only a source of great comfort and stability, it's the platform from which stimulating and fulfilling work is possible. Before we go further, here's something to think about. Scientists have found we can pay close attention to something for about 5 to 10 minutes before our brains start to lose focus and switch off like a light bulb. I've split the difference and made each routine 7 minutes long. You might be listening to a school lecture, watching a presentation by one of your coworkers, or checking email. After 7 minutes, your brain needs to hit pause. The neurons slow down when we focus for too long. That's why I'm only asking for a short period of time to follow the routines. The routines are intentionally basic to help you maintain focus. You can also follow the routines at any time or place during the day. Say, in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, or at your desk before a meeting. You can follow them at home or on a plane flying across the world. You can follow them on the bus or in the car, which might sound like the book Green Eggs and Ham, but just go with it. The routines work. I know this because I've been using them for years. Focusing your attention on one thing for only 7 minutes minimizes distraction. Mix and match the routines that work best for you. And don't worry about doing them all. You'll increase productivity, but you'll also free up more of your time so that you can put more effort into the things that really matter. Productivity with purpose. My journey to productivity with purpose started with a major career change. I used to be a corporate manager, but my wife suggested I start a writing career instead. I became a full-time writer back in 2001. My wife encouraged me to follow my passion, not to mention use my journalism degree for more purposeful work. Since then, I've written reports for Fox News about protecting kids online, interviewed famous people such as Francis Chan and Andy Stanley, and once wrote a story about a church that started a unique community service project. In my columns, I've written about productivity and work-life balance most often. Work is part of what makes us human. It helps us find meaning in life, serve others, and become part of something bigger than ourselves. The alternative to work is to live like a slug, burning away our lives in meaningless pursuits, also called watching television. It's not a question of whether we should work and toil. It's how we work and what we are trying to accomplish in life that's important. Once we see work as a meaningful pursuit and part of what it means to be human, it's much easier to set aside the need for constant success and recognition. Working hard is wired into our DNA. We may no longer be plowing a field by hand, but we do understand that work is a noble effort. Our productivity can involve a marketing campaign in the office, school papers at home with our kids, or building a major corporation. Since we are wired as humans to work hard and find satisfaction in toil and labor, we can rest easy. We already have the impulse and longing to achieve great things. We don't need to prove our value, since the value is intrinsic simply because we're human. We can set aside a need for constant success when we realize that. We breathe, we eat, we work. Even if you're already productive, you can learn from the routines in this book. Improve, all of us we can, as the wise sage Yoda might say. We all have 24 hours in a day. We all breathe about 20,000 times per day. We all have about 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. We're all in this together, struggling to learn and grow and become better at what we do. The important question is, what will you do with your 24 hours, 20,000 breaths, and 50,000 thoughts? Where will they lead you? As I was researching habit formation for this book and how people become productive and successful, I discovered a few themes. I read all the best authors, including Adam Grant, Nir Eyal, James Clear, and Dan Heath. They kept stressing the same things. Habits form when we follow a predetermined routine. The best routine leads to the best results. Think about driving a car. First, you learn to use the gas pedal and the brakes. Then, you learn to drive. Eventually, stepping on the gas and the brakes becomes second nature. We don't have to think about it. But when we multitask, we end up losing focus. Look out, you haven't quite mastered the brakes yet. Habits also make us who we are. That's quite scary if your habits involve smoking cigarettes or playing video games all day. Yet once you learn to drive, you can go places, such as Chipotle. Some of the routines I'll cover in each section are similar to those in other productivity books, but the twist is that they are about more than just becoming a better person and developing more skills. The goal is to become who we were meant to be all along. The goal is to do our work with this in mind. We were created for work as humans. We may sweat and toil all day, but we do so with integrity, honor, and a clear focus. As author Mark Buchanan once told me, we're always having to justify what we do on some hidden scale of values. This is not a bad thing. But there is another reason to be productive. I am productive because I am made in the image of God. If I deny that, I am denying the Almighty. Tim Keller writes about this in his book, Every Good Endeavor. If God's purpose for your job is that you serve the community, then the way to serve God best is to do the job as well as it can be done. My own story. I wasn't always so productive and purposeful. In my younger years, I was easily bored and didn't know basic productivity techniques. The radical shift in my work habits occurred when I started writing as a journalist full-time. In the last 20 years, I've written 15,000 articles for major publications such as Inc., Forbes, Popular Mechanics, Wired, and Entrepreneur. There are few full-time journalists working today who match my total output over these last 20 years with such a diverse roster of publications. That's not a humble brag. It's remarkable to me and a credit to my faith and dependence on God, as well as the techniques in this book. My greatest burst of productivity started in 2008 when I wrote a daily online column for Inc. Over a decade, I wrote 4,000 columns on leadership, mentoring, technology, and other topics, sometimes posting twice per day, for those who are questioning the math. All told, about 500,000 people followed my column every month. That means around 60 million people have read my daily business column at Inc.com and in the magazine since 2008. That total doesn't include writing for Forbes.com or a long-standing weekly column for FoxNews.com that also dates back to 2008. I've written thousands of articles for many other outlets as well. I can juggle, cook pancakes, and recite poetry at the same time, too. Not really. And maybe I've taken this too far. But honestly, I'm remarkably efficient. I've written at least a dozen articles about Elon Musk alone. One highlight came in 2015 when I wrote about the 7-minute morning routine for Inc.com. To my own surprise and excitement, the article went viral. To date, 2 million people have read that simple guide to having a morning routine, and thousands of people are already following my format. This book is a result of watching how that morning routine has helped so many people become productive. I mention all of this with wide-eyed bewilderment. I needed a calculator to figure this out, but over a 20-year span, I've estimated a total production of around 18 million words, with an average of about 1,000 words per article. You can Google almost all of them if you want. It's astounding to me. People often ask me how this is possible. I usually say, it's my job. And yet, applying the productivity lessons in this book will save time, improve your own process, produce better results, and even help you lead a more fulfilled life. A routine is the engine to help you actually develop new habits, starting today. There is a method to this madness. If we are designed to work, we should steward that work as best we can. There are times when I hear about extreme productivity and nod along in agreement. That's me. That's how I work. Yet, some of the productivity advice I've found has left me feeling a little flat. Is that all there is? Getting better as a person? Small changes in self-improvement? Becoming more successful so you can make more money? There must be more to it. In researching this book, I felt as if the natural laws of habit forming and personal development were not satisfying. I don't want to be merely a better person. I don't want to be an email guru. I don't even like email. I decided the real reason for becoming more efficient is because that honors who we are as humans. We are good workers at heart. I choose to become intentional with my time because my time on this planet is limited. As purposeful workers, we don't have to follow the same old routines and habits. Each day, we can create new habits and break old ones. Starting right now, we can say, "Today, I will work hard. Today, I will embrace change. Today, I will start using new routines to form new habits." One day at a time, one routine at a time. You can become more purposeful in your work. You can look back and say you made the most of the resources at your disposal. You can match your tasks to your purpose. You can make good decisions about how to live. And if you make a mistake, well, you can start again tomorrow. Here's the thing about productivity with purpose. The emphasis is on the purpose. We work hard, we manage our time, we take great comfort in the fact that we have labored for good reason and for good outcomes. We're ready to begin a journey not of mere self-development, but to experience a more fulfilling and rewarding life and to become more productive, because that's how we were created, to work with joy. Are you ready? Buckle up for the ride. We're going to put the pedal to the metal by starting with a morning routine that helped me write my first book in a cabin long ago. In case you're wondering, I applied the same routines to write this book as well. I even went back to the island in the summertime. Part 1. Develop good habits. Section 1. Morning routine. You'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. John Maxwell. 1. Define what is meaningful. It was the biggest failure of my life. On September 18, 2001, just a week after 9/11, I lost my job. I was a corporate manager and drove 45 minutes to work one way in heavy commuter traffic. I wore a tie and wing-tipped shoes. I managed a large staff, including web designers and writers. I was on the fast track at a consumer electronics company destined to become a vice president and lead an entire department. Then it all came crashing down. I came into work, and my boss escorted me to a conference room with a handful of lawyers and some legal papers to sign. Not good. The economy was sinking faster than a bag of bricks in a swimming pool. I had to agree to a severance package and leave that same day, or else. My boss ushered me to the front entrance and took my security card. "Sorry we had to do this to you," he said, looking a bit grim. Let's just say it was a long drive home. The next morning, I woke up at dawn. With four little kids at home, two of them barely out of diapers, I knew I had to act quickly. The house payment was due, and my oldest daughter needed braces. I thought about seeking legal help and realized that was probably a dead end. At the kitchen table, I sat down with a journal and a pen and wrote out my worst fears, deepest regrets, and biggest dreams. Will I ever write a book? Can I do ministry with students someday? Why was I the first to be let go in the downsizing? I jotted down a note about wanting more out of my career. I still had those faded sheets of paper in a well-worn journal. I decided to write down my thoughts every morning. It was the only avenue for dealing with the deep disappointment of losing my job, of failing in a way that was so obvious to my friends and family. I haven't collected a regular paycheck in a corporate job since, and I'll explain more of my story later. But what really came out of that experience is this book. Roughly 15,000 articles and 20 years later, my biggest failure led to my greatest workplace success. You see, I decided to become a writer that day. Actually, my wife, Rebecca, suggested the idea. She knew I had a degree in journalism. She knew I had a deep longing to share my own thoughts and ideas, to put words on a page, to make a living as a professional author. She knew I wasn't happy being a director in an information technology department. I might have constantly complained about it. That day, I not only started writing in a journal to organize my thoughts, I started writing as a career. I cobbled together enough income to support my family. Well, almost. My brother-in-law used to feel sorry for me and drop off groceries at our front door. I had to apply for medical services and high-deductible health insurance. It took about a year before I sold my first article to a magazine called Laptop. I became the router guy in those early years, reviewing Wi-Fi devices and happily cashing the checks at the end of the month. By 2003, I started writing frequently for Wired.com, then the Chicago Tribune. For 2 years straight, way back then, I started my day writing in a journal. During that season of life, trying to figure out how to stay productive with my time, I kept writing down my biggest challenges for the day, upcoming stresses, and overarching goals. By writing in a journal, usually over coffee, I set the tone for productivity for the entire day. I calibrated my thoughts, circled the challenges, crossed out any stressors, and reviewed my ambitions. It worked. I'd come up with a routine that became a habit. Well over 20 years later, I'm still using the same basic routine. Why start journaling? In their 2013 best-selling book, The One Thing, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results, authors Gary Keller and Jay Papasan mention a curious stat about journaling. It turns out, when we write down our goals and aspirations, we are 39.5% more likely to achieve them. They didn't explain the reason, but we can make an educated guess. It's because we like to make things official. There's something about jotting down a note that lodges that notation in our brains. Keller and Papasan go a step further and explain how writing down a goal and then seeking accountability, say by sending someone an email about it, means we are 77.6% more likely to achieve the goal. The authors make a valid point. Only a few things really matter. When we record them, we decide what's important and what we'll remember. When we let chaos reign and allow multiple priorities to exist and wage war with one another, we end up never achieving anything. The reason I began to keep a journal so long ago, and the reason I'm still journaling today, is that I want to record and ponder what's really important. I want to match my daily activities with my biggest ambitions in life. There are many things in life that define our purpose. Sometimes it's a boss. They hand us a job description when we take a new role, and every meeting thereafter is meant to orient us toward that purpose. Are we measuring up to the standards of the job description? Are we doing the most important activities the company requires? When we buck the system and make up our own rules about what matters, rarely aligning our tasks with our ambitions, we end up in a place where we are free to make up our own definitions about our life and call the shots every day, It's called
Sample Complete. Ready to continue?